everyone, before we crack into this week's episode of Reddit Horror Club 2, Dead by Dawn, I just wanted to say thanks to a couple of our sponsors this episode. That was Sunflower Bean, a band currently touring the States, who is on Fat Possum Records, who you might know because that label was the one that launched a little-known band called the Black Keys. And you just listened to the intro of Space Exploration Disaster. I thought it was a pretty cool song. There are some vocals, but really cool instrumental to start off the song. And they're on tour right now. If you're listening to this on the 5th or sometime thereafter, tonight on the 5th, they're playing in Ithaca, New York, tomorrow in Philadelphia, and then on the 10th in Washington, D.C., on the 11th in Durham, North Carolina. So there's some recent or upcoming tour dates that you should check them out. Again, there's Sunflower Bean, and all you got to do is a simple little Google search, and you'll find them, or you look in the show notes, and there's a link. We'd also like to thank the Grindhouse channel and Mike Dreidel Art, whose links are in here, too. They are providing some prizes for this episode. So listen up and stay tuned so you know how to win those prizes. So thanks again, everyone. Check out the links for our sponsors for this episode, and away we go.
Introduce himself briefly. Royal, what's your real name? Royal Blake, right?
Right, yes.
Okay,
that's
cool.
That's pretty much my gun name.
That's awesome. I've never actually met anyone named Royal. I think it's a pretty damn cool name.
Yeah, my father's side is pretty unique.
Okay. are you the first Royal, or are you named after another Royal?
I'm named after my grandfather and my father. I'm the third.
Awesome. Very cool.
Yep.
Very cool. And where are you hailing from these days, Royal?
I am hailing from the great city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Ooh, another Pennsylvanian. I'm over in Philly, so welcome.
You're over on the other side.
Yeah.
Hello, neighbor.
Nice. I have a lot of family out in Pittsburgh, so I'm quite familiar with the city.
Cool.
So, That's nice to have another Pennsylvanian on here. Anna's out in Central Time. Remind me what state you're in, Anna. One of those random, quiet, you know, country states.
I'm in Jackson, Mississippi.
Mississippi, that's it. I remember you when you told me. You said for now. Like you don't plan on staying there forever, huh?
No. That's where my family's from.
Okay, cool, cool, cool. This week we have Selection, which I'll let you introduce, Royal, since it was your selection.
And now our feature presentation.
Right, so I introduce Strip Nude for Your Killer because I didn't see much Yali in the collection through all of the seasons, as it were. I originally was trying to get something more than your Argento or your Fulci. Mm-hmm. I wanted to introduce other directors like Don Masio. I meant to get Sergio Martino, but right now we're looking at Andrea Bianchi, who's a decent director, but his horror oeuvre is very slanted. Many people know his last horror movie, Burial Ground, Nights of Terror.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the only thing I'd ever heard of by him prior to this.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. He did a Yali earlier than this called What the Peeper Saw, and this is sort of his second out of three horror movies he's done.
Well, one of the things I noticed right off the bat was that with my experience with other Gialli, which I don't have a ton, that this was probably one of the most that I would throw into the exploitation film realm as well. It had a very
easy
exploitative kind of feel to it, yeah.
Yeah, Bianchi was more of a exploitation drama, exploitation comedy director in Italy.
Okay.
This movie is basically him wanting to work with Edwin Finch, the lead woman in this picture, which you see a whole lot of. Finch has been known to work with Martino, being that her husband is Martino's brother and fellow producer. That's what originally tricked me into suggesting this film, thinking that this was a Martino film. But this is a Bianchi film.
Yeah, I'm not familiar. I'd heard of Burial Ground, never seen it. So this was really the first thing I've ever seen by Bianchi.
Yeah. Burial Ground is probably his worst out of his three horror films. This is pretty much his mediocre. Yeah. Burial Ground was more of he had power taken from him, mostly through the production company. This is just him, just Gary stewing the hell out of the movie. To be completely honest, the original plot of this is a model of this modeling company dies on the operating table of an abortion clinic, and this mysterious individual is taking revenge for her on the doctor and those she had worked with. But the original plot, as you can see, is I'm Andrea Bianchi, God's gift to women, and I want to pretty much do Edward Finch every chance possible. Oh, and by the way, we got this serial murder happening.
Yeah, the by the way is definitely a by the way. What's interesting to me is that one of the things I read about this film is that it was highly influential to a lot of the American slashers, and I totally see it, because whereas your typical Gialli, I think, has quite an intricate and complicated kind of plot, the plot is very secondary in this movie to splatter and boobs, basically.
Right, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, yeah. Your usual Gialli has sort of mysticism to the murder. If I can point out something, Bird with Crystal Plumage has something like that. There's a mysticism, a supernatural element to it, where it isn't supernatural. It's more of a complicated, hey, you didn't see this. We hidden this piece of evidence in plain sight. You need to look over here. But more of the physical element, sort of the black gloved killer, usually a female sleuth or a couple who are sleuthing other than the cops are looking into this. And then you have, a bit of gratuitous nudity involved. It's pretty much part of the Gialli. In better fact, you technically can't call giallo horror because it's more, if we were watching this in Italy, this would be more of a mystery movie, a suspense movie. What we call a thriller. Gialli is the Italian word for yellow, which is the yellow spine that mystery novels came in.
That makes more sense. I wonder why yellow was used. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Their mystery novels would have a yellow spine, and that was the easy way to find your mystery novels. And it sort of stuck.
Hey, Anna, what's your experience as far as, like, giallo and this kind of genre of film?
All the giallos that I've seen have been with the horror club. So I've seen the Argentos that we've watched, and I've seen some Mario Bava, and that's pretty much my extent.
Okay.
Yeah. Matter of fact, Mario Bava is sort of the father of the giallo. One of the first giallos was The Girl Who Knew Too Much, or The Evil Eyes. It was sold here with Saxon. John Saxon was considered the first giallo. And then later on, the tropes were evolved by Bava with Blood and Black Lace.
Well, yeah, Blood and Black Lace was kind of where the mask and the black glove kind of became the standard. You know what I mean? Like, introduced that, and everybody kind of picked up on that.
And then the usual female sleuth, yes.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, my experience is essentially similar, even though I haven't been in the horror club as long as you, Anna. My experience is similar as far as what I've seen. Although I will say that probably one of my favorite slasher-type movies is a giallo, which would be Deep Red or Profondo Rosso by Argento?
Argento, yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Early Argento, And I actually only saw it about a year ago, but I watched it a half a dozen times since, actually. I really, really like that movie. So, anywho, why don't we talk about this movie? So, since Royal just spoke a lot about introducing kind of the genre a little bit, I'm going to start with you, Anna. What did you think?
Oh, what did I think? I think this movie, the plot is definitely secondary to the gore and tits, which I'm all for gore and tits. So, you know, that's fun. But aside from that, kind of, I could take it or leave it. Because it's not a masterpiece.
Yeah, I'd agree.
No,
I'd agree. What do you think? You said you chose it kind of by mistake. Had you seen it prior to this time?
It's one of those things you can call a regressive memory. It's you kind of wonder why you haven't seen this film, and then you see the film, and you're like, oh, no. I remember why I forgot this film. I remember. Plus, the protagonist is not fun. If you were presenting giallo for the first time for someone, I would not produce Strip Nude for Your Killer. I'd go for Seven Notes in Black or Deep Red or something more obscure like The Pajama Girl Murder or, you know, The Girl Who Knew Too Much. This one, you kind of want to say, no, don't look at that. Please, no.
It's funny, my notes, I started with botched abortions, always a great way to start a film.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then
that's really how you want to go. Hitting that topical nature. Yeah. Really, that's really going to bring you, that's really going to bring him in.
Yeah. I wrote down a few quotes from the movie that jumped out at me, and they're all, so, like, early in the film when they're in the sauna and he's taking pictures of her nude and then, you know, they have sex. Right before they have sex, she's like, what are you doing? Like, we're going to get caught. And he's like, it's time for the in-depth interview. I thought that was the best line. Like, oh, God.
The in-depth interview. And then the model comes in and it's like, why aren't you taking a picture of me? I'm too busy. I got work. Leave me alone. I'm working here. Yeah.
That was awesome. And then, like, one of the next sex scenes, the woman who is also a photographer, and the guy's saying, "Oh, you don't need to be a model at the waist of your talent," but then she goes, you know, goes down on him.
Yeah.
And when they walk out, like, later, after whatever, you know, happens, after their whole event, she says something like, "I'd love to do that again," and he says, "You said a mouthful." And I was like,
yeah,
"Oh
yeah.
My God."
That's Andrea Bianchi for you. That's pretty much Andrea Bianchi.
Though my favorite line was not sexual at all. My favorite line was when the killer was pouring himself a whiskey, and the guy freaks out. "Are you trying to be funny? You're spilling my whiskey." And
my whiskey, yeah, yeah. J&B is not to be fucked with in Italy. Let me tell you, J&B is like plastered everywhere in any Italian movie you watch, be it Eurocrime, horror, sex comedy. J&B is fluent through all of Italian movies. So,
I love me some whiskey. So I'm not. I would be probably similarly upset if somebody was spilling my, you know, my Knob Creek or like my Three Roses, because I'm a big bourbon guy.
Yeah.
but I did find it. He like freaked out. It was like probably one of the most upset that anyone in the entire movie was about anything was his whiskey being spilled.
Oh yeah, yeah. I can understand the struggle.
Okay, how about the scene where the fat guy leads that woman back to his apartment, and then she's like, "I don't know," and then when she kind of turns him down, he just kind of tries to rape her, and then because he premature ejaculates, she's just like, "Oh, it's okay, it's fine."
It's all right, yeah, it's fine.
Clean yourself up.
Don't try to rape me.
Here, take my cash. You were nice to me. You were nice to me. Take my cash. You're the only one who understands me, blow up doll.
He says, "I've never made it with a girl. Not once. My mother told me that I would,
yeah,
but I haven't." But then he said he's married. So I'm like, hold on.
He's got a wife.
Married to a ferocious lesbian. Let's put that into perspective here.
Tried to have sex.
That's true. She's sleeping with a redhead.
Yeah, that's true.
You know you like it.
And then, like, for the next five minutes, he's walking around in his underwear.
Yeah, going for the blow up doll.
Attractive man ever.
That's Bianchi's humor. You notice how all the guys in this whole movie are flawed in some way. Mario's the homosexual. Mauricio's the fat slob.
Mm-hmm.
Salvio is the abusive husband. The only one who's always perfect is Carlo Bianchi. Emphasis on the last name, Bianchi.
Mm-hmm.
Although I do think there was some good nudity that was not just the ladies. I liked the naked handstand by the dude.
Oh, yeah. By Carlo,
He was like, "What are you doing?" And he was like, "Oh, it's good for my back," or something like that.
It's good for the carpocalcels or something like that. He mispronounced the whole. Milking my coffee is good for the carpocalcels. Milk, why would you ruin a good coffee? Oh, you wouldn't understand.
Funny. There was one scene that I actually, though, like, thought was really cool and well shot that was not in any way, like, me laughing about it. I thought it was really cool when it had that standard, like, jazz, funk, 70s feel, the music playing, and, like, they just kept flashing back and forth between these two sets of feet. And it was the detectives following the blonde girl. And then, of course, it ended with her getting killed and a photographer getting, you know, the whole thing. But then he ran away before the detectives got there. But I just was
right.
Like,
and
I
he almost
really
gets run over by the murder. I think that's one of the bright spots of this whole film.
Yeah. And I think that it's the only time in the entire movie that I said, "Wow, that's really well shot," without, like, chuckling about something.
Right.
So, you know, nonetheless.
I think Marta's trying to process the film would have been just a lot more suspenseful without Carlo on the other end of the phone. Mm-hmm. So that would have worked pretty well, too, if we didn't have that limited. But yeah, the chase between the manager of the owner of the I'm just stuttering today. The modeling firm.
Okay.
The owner of the modeling firm, and what you were talking about is pretty much the only bright spot of this film.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like the rest of it looks ugly. It actually looks pretty well shot. But the thing is, that was like the only time that I specifically was able to, like, glom onto, wow, that looks so great, because I was always chuckling about some other ridiculous thing happening.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I had a good time with it. Like, I actually had a really fun time watching it. I can't say that I'll watch it again anytime soon, but I also can't say that it's a good movie.
No, it's pretty much exploitation.
Yeah.
Gary,
yeah, exploitation that I would rewatch and rewatch. This just isn't one of them.
Right. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. This is pretty much meant for your dirty grindhouse audience, the kind that wear the trench coats and stuff.
Yeah.
So, was there anything else that jumped out to either of you that, like, you really liked about the film, or the moments that you just thought were really worth highlighting?
I liked the bit where the photo is being processed, because that sort of gives you evidence of who the killer is. And then there's this one part, I think it was Carlo going through the house, and he just sees it, just gets close to a picture, and you see who might be the killer, and then the killer just attacks. You guys know that part?
Mm-hmm.
He sees the portrait of the two girls dancing, and one of them's Nadia, and the other is the killer, and you almost see who it is, and then full-on attack from the killer.
Mm. Yeah. By the way, that was pretty cool scene. That is pretty cool. And I mean, like, there was stuff that was done really well when you really kind of sit back and think about it.
The castration of the doctor was kind of icky and fun, too. So,
anything that jumped out at you, Anna, that we didn't highlight that was either particularly good or bad?
I feel like we kind of covered what I thought about the movie.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all kind of agree that it was light on plot and heavy on, you know, the elements that eventually became the American slasher. Because really, when you look at the American slasher film, it's primarily all about gratuitous nudity and gore. And that was essentially what this was before that even, you know, became its own genre. So
this film has this much nudity.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of nudity in this film. There was a lot of those moments where I was like, why are you naked? Like, why? There's no reason. Like, after that really short lesbian scene, and the one woman leaves after they get into an argument, you're a cheap whore, and blah, blah, blah. The one other girl just like, oh, I'm just going to stay naked. Yeah, I'm going to explore a creepy sound naked. Like,
naked, yep.
Yeah.
And
I'm not putting kids on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to find out where that dripping is coming from. Naked. Nude.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going to try these things on. Naked.
It is seriously, like, so many times I just have that, why are you naked? Why are you naked?
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, I guess
why do we need this sex scene? Why are we having this sex scene? Come on, this is the fifth time. Can we go to another, you know, a plot point? Maybe, you know, maybe some more killing, maybe, you know, trying to figure out, why do we need this sex scene? This doesn't work. We don't need this. Go somewhere else. We know you want to fuck Edwidge. Go somewhere else.
Did you notice that the heavy breathing sound that that the killer made was very, very similar to the sound from the guy from My Bloody Valentine? Like, it sounded so similar to me.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they got it from the same stock sound stage from New York.
They probably did.
Yeah.
They probably did. That's a really valid point, since neither of them had much of a budget, you know, for what they had to provide, you know. I realized in doing a little bit of research about Gialli in general is that most of the, especially the early Gialli stuff, is pretty low budget. Not a lot. And I mean, there's no effects really. There's practical, you know, blood and guts, but other than there's nothing like spectacle. So I guess it makes sense. But I didn't realize, you know, how low budget a lot of that stuff was. Even some of the really big names that you know, some of the Argento stuff and some of the Bava stuff, there's very little to no budget for something.
One of the things Bava prided himself on was being a set designer, because that's where he came from. He was a set designer before he was a director. So a lot of his stuff, he would like to do things like hide stuff in plain sight or make things involved with the story for some reason. He didn't usually rely on effects unless he had to. So a lot of his stuff, you were focusing on maybe a set of doors. You know, and you were always focusing on the set of doors. You had people asking questions about the set of doors. There would be some sort of symbolism involving the set of doors. You know, and Gialli sort of built itself on that idea. On that idealism of built on suspense and story, using what you have instead of creating what you needed to.
Definitely. I mean, I definitely think that despite the fact that it's kind of over the top and low on plot, it's still a good example of what a lot of the Gialli is here in this film. You know, as far as a lot of if you take out some of the softcore porn. Becomes a pretty standard Gialli. You probably would have to complicate and add some good layers of stuff into the plot to really get to where some of the better films are. But
it still
fits. Yeah.
Yeah, nudity was pretty much atypical Gialli. It did money, but it did regular money. It wasn't anything special. Besides, if you took the exploitative element out, it was just a run-of-the-mill Gialli.
You mentioned when we were talking previously that Gialli is one of your favorite genres, and you also mentioned creamy, which I had to look up. For those listening who aren't familiar, can you explain that a little bit?
Creamy, or creamy-based film, is sort of the German precursor to Gialli. It's like Gialli. But the difference is kind of subtle. A lot of creamy likes to base itself off the stories of Edgar Wallace, who was an American crime writer over in the 40s and 30s. Another element is they focused more on the criminal mastermind element. The first actual creamy was The Fellowship of the Frog, which is sort of an unofficial sequel to Orson Welles' The Third Man, where they bring the main antagonist, they make this mastermind, and they reveal that the mastermind is Harry Lime resurrected, who was the major antagonist of The Third Man, and then they build from there. And later on, during the 70s, they took on more of a Gialli tone.
Okay,
but they kept more. They kept more of the super criminal. A lot of people might know the name Dr. Mabuse, as being one of the representatives of Krimi.
Okay,
who's the major? Have you ever heard of Fritz Lang? He created Dr. Mabuse.
Oh yeah, I have.
Metropolis.
He created Dr. Mabuse, and Dr. Mabuse became sort of the mascot for Krimi as years went by.
Okay. Interesting.
Yep.
And so it sounds almost like you had a interesting symbiotic relationship with Gialli, in that it probably was an influence to early Gialli, and then it got influenced by Gialli and kind of changed and morphed as it moved on.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I think the one major convergence of Krimi and Gialli was Curse of the Seven Stained Orchids, I think it's called, done by Umberto Lenzi, There is some major elements of crimi and major elements of gialli merged together, where, if I recall correctly, they were going after a criminal mastermind and they realized, oh, shit, it's not this mastermind that's killing people. It's an actual serial killer.
Interesting. And, you know, what's interesting is that if we look at, like, a more technical gialli kind of feel, or, you know, even especially maybe when with the crimi, although I'm not as familiar, when you're talking about the criminal mastermind, it kind of feeds in my mind, to a modern equivalent being something like maybe some of the Hannibal movies.
Yeah, something like that. Matter of fact, Hannibal can be looked at as a modern-day gialli, the last Hannibal movie.
Yeah, definitely.
Can be looked at as matter of fact, the Italian portion of Hannibal is pure up gialli.
Interesting. And I'm sure the folks, the writers, directors, producers would all admit they were very heavily influenced by that. So I'm sure that's not something
that's
exciting.
No. I wouldn't be surprised if Lindsay or Del Masio had influenced that part of Hannibal.
So looking at this film, I'll start with Anna. Are we going to stash it or trash it?
Trash it.
No hesitation for you. How about you? You're gonna stash this film, or you're gonna trash this film?
I'm normally a pack rat. I don't trash bad films, but I wouldn't go searching. If you're looking into gialli, I wouldn't go search this out. If you want something with Edward Finch in it, go for the Martino movies. All the Colors of Dark. Your Vice is a Locked Room, and Only I Have the Key. The Strange Fetish of Mrs. Ward.
So
anything
kind of
else
in between the stash and trash. Don't go seeking it, but yeah, it's not horrible.
Yeah. Go looking for this glass if you want to be a completist.
Okay. And I guess I'm probably similar to that. Is that because I enjoyed myself, but I'm not going to seek it out at all. I mean, I'll go with trash it. But it's a trash it with a possibility of trying to dig it out of the trash at some point. Looking at that, so we went with kind of trash it with, you know, a little bit of not that it's awful, but I guess our consensus is primarily we're not big on the film. What are we big on? I wanted to explore this a little bit with you guys. I mentioned that my favorite film that's in the slasher type vein is a gialli, and that would be Deep Red. What are your favorite films that kind of fit into the slasher realm one way or another?
Oh, shoot. I was never part of the slasher genre.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen a couple slashers, but slashers wasn't my thing. I would go with maybe, if I was going late 80s gialli, I would go Tenebrae.
Oh, Tenebrae, okay.
Trauma, which was Argento's only American film.
Okay.
Which is pretty interesting. I've seen My Bloody Valentine. My Bloody Valentine's pretty good.
Okay.
The Fifth Chord is pretty interesting. It's a gialli with Franco Nero. Strangler is pretty much sending notes via sheet music to a music teacher. And
so
he's
gun
trying
to your head,
to
which one's your favorite? Gun to your head, what's your favorite?
I'd go with Tenebrae.
Tenebrae, okay. How about you, Anna?
I love the French extremism movement, so I'd probably have to go with Alexandre Aja's Hot Tension.
I don't think I've seen that.
It was my pick in one of the rounds.
Okay.
Back in the early days.
Well, and the French stuff. I don't know if I like it or not. I've only seen a few,
it's
so I have a hard time. I have a hard time gauging what I think about the whole French extremism movement. I'll definitely make sure I seek that one out. Because, you know, I'm willing to give Earthen a try.
I'm also very to Inside.
Okay.
Lion's Kid? I love that one. That was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
So, have you seen a movie called The Killer Must Kill Again? It's a French movie. It's about a serial killer in France who kills the wife of this couple, and the murderer says to the husband, "I won't kill you, but you got to stash the body someplace real hidden, like." And the husband goes to stash his wife's body, but these two delinquents take his car for a joyride. So the whole movie is this guy trying to get his car back. And not trying to get killed by this murderer who was trying to kill him because he disobeyed his orders.
That's
pretty interesting.
I definitely want to check that out, too, though. So I guess I have a couple films to add to my list. Speaking of lists, before we wrap up, is there anything that you've been watching, reading lately that tickled your fancy, that is something you would want to share with people?
I've been reading The Devil in a White City, which is going to be made into a movie. It's pretty good. It's about the creation of the first World Fair in America in Chicago and how that inadvertently gave victims to H.H. Holmes and his murder castle. You guys are familiar with H.H. Holmes.
Yeah, really. Essentially, they credit him as the first serial killer, the modern era. Yeah,
in America,
Yeah, American serial killer. So, that's interesting.
I've been also listening to a lot of Ghost DC, which is pretty cool. It's a Swedish band who fashioned himself as a quote-unquote satanic praise band.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Their latest album won a Grammy, so that's what got me into. Other than that, they have a video up on YouTube for their song Pinnacle to the Pit, and it uses footage from an old 1940s propaganda film called Forces Occultus, which was a propaganda film stating that you have to join the fascists because the Freemasons are tag teaming with the Jews to take over Europe. And it just uses a lot of Freemasonry rituals. I thought that was pretty cool. So.
That is pretty cool. That's definitely something to check out. I'm intrigued for sure. How about you, Anna? Has anything jumped out lately you've been reading, watching?
I've been watching the guys over at Achievement Hunter play Until Dawn, which is this game for the PS4.
Okay.
There's a bunch of kids who go to this cabin, and until dawn, they're trying to survive because there's this killer, and the whole game is kind of from the get-go that everybody dies. You just don't know how they're going to die, and there's a lot of different ways for them to die, and it's really interesting. But I have an Xbox One, so I may never play this game.
By the way, that's co-directed by Ty West.
The game?
Yeah, the game is co-directed by Ty West.
I didn't know that. I was watching them play it.
I just thought I'd let you guys know.
I'm a video game person. I think if I had more time, I might be. But I have honestly not played a game in a really long time. So, but I am always intrigued on hearing what's new and out there. So that's kind of cool for sure. I personally I guess I've been watching movies primarily. When I do things, I put them on in the background, when I'm sitting around, I watch movies. But I can't think of anything that's jumped out at me as been spectacular that I've seen lately. I have to get back into my watchings of the David Lynch films we talked about a couple weeks ago. I still have not watched Blue Velvet. I'm still ruminating on Eraserhead. I realize I'm not going to stop ruminating on it probably forever, so I should just move into the next film. I'm going to do that.
Jump in.
Next week, I'm definitely going to have watched Blue Velvet and hold myself to that. So hopefully I can talk to you, Anna, a little bit about that, because I know you said it's one of your favorites. And really, that's about it. I mean, I've been writing, been reading. And speaking of writing, Anna, you had your first post on the Farsighted, besides being part of these podcasts on the website I run. You posted something completely not horror related, but I wanted to mention it because it's awesome. You are going to be looking at all of the different peeps that are out this season and telling us a little bit about each one and rating them.
That's correct. I've got a big sugar tooth, and I guess I was in Walmart one day, and I just saw one of the new flavors of peeps, and I just decided that'd be a great idea. I'm just going to write all about the different peep flavors.
Well, that's going to be interesting. I've only ever had, like, originals and maybe one or two others, so I'm very intrigued. I'm going to be following it to see which ones I want to go pick up for sure. And your first piece was a lot of fun, and I think you had given one of them a full 5 stars. Which one was that?
The sour watermelon ones are delicious.
And you know, I guess the blue raspberry was the other one, and you said those were pretty good too, right?
They're really good, but they're just a little bit too tart for my taste. If you love sour stuff, go for it.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you guys for chatting about this movie this week. I think it was a lot of fun. Everybody who's listening, check out the notes of the podcast, and you're going to find a way to win a couple prizes. There's going to be a little contest, sort of a trivia contest, although as Anna and I had discussed in the past, trivia has been kind of debunked a lot by the internet. You can look everything up. So a couple of the questions are going to be specific to things that you heard in this podcast, notably what films are our favorites. So what slasher type films the three of us really like. So keep in mind those as you listen to this, and go click that link in the show notes to go ahead and take a stab at winning a few prizes, one of them being a full year subscription to the premium version of Grindhouse Channel, which is a website / Roku channel, and another one of the prizes being a piece of slasher-related jewelry that is actually, I'll reveal exactly what it is when we give it away. So I guess that's about it, guys. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you next week.